Thank you very much. We are here to bring you the story behind the music you love and to introduce you to the men who make that music at Orchestra Hall in Ravinia Park. You'll also get to hear an informal and easy-to-understand discussion of music and its interesting personalities. And what's more, you, listening right now, have an opportunity to win two main-floor tickets for a concert by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And today, let's turn to the pages of your symphony scrapbook devoted to that small but powerful orchestral instrument, the piccolo. And we have as our guest performer Mr. Burnett Atkinson, member of the flute section of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Mr. Atkinson, I'm sure our listeners would like to have you identify the selection you played at the beginning of this program and perhaps play some more from that composition.
Well, that was a little bit of Tubby the Tuba by Kleinsinger. That is the place where Tubby goes for a walk and Pee-wee the Piccolo goes along, too. Here's a little bit more.
Recently, I ran across a little rhyme that goes, "Flutes are made of silver and platinum. When you play soft, you're apt to flatten them. If really high you choose to go, shift over to the piccolo." And that leads to two questions I'd like to ask you. In the first place, what is the range of the piccolo, and how does that compare, say, on the scale, to the range of the flute?
Well, it's an octave higher than the flute. It has the same, almost the same number of notes. It doesn't have a low C or a low C sharp. It starts on a D, but it goes up to a high C, which is the highest note on the piano. That gives you an idea how high it goes.
Well, now you say it has the same number of notes, and it's a much smaller instrument. I think a lot of players envy a piccolo player because he can carry his instrument in his coat pocket. Is the mechanism of the keys on the piccolo different from that
of the
flute?
Well, they're just much closer together. You have to group your fingers much closer and a little bit more awkward because of that. But the main difficulty in piccolo is the higher you go, the closer the frequencies are, and that's why the notes are harder to produce.
Well, some time ago, I ran across a statement to the effect that some authority was, someone who claimed he was an authority, said that the piccolo was always a little off pitch, and it's being a little off pitch makes it hold your attention. Is that a reflection on piccolos or piccolo players?
That's the dangerous one for me to answer. That's something like an organ. The remark about an organ, if it's in tune, it doesn't sound good. But it is very difficult for intonation. There's no doubt in it. Something's wrong, the piccolo player usually gets blamed for it.
What? That because it stands out so against
yes,
all the other instruments
it's
of
it's
the...
It's so high, it predominates.
Well, now, of course, piccolo player always doubled in flutes, or flute player doubles in piccolo. When you have to shift from the flute to the piccolo and then back to the flute, do you experience any difficulty in adjusting yourself to the different instrument?
Yes, there's some. If I wouldn't want to play a solo on the flute if I'd been playing a lot of piccolo. But for ordinary orchestral work, you can get by all right. But there's a difference in the embouchure.
Now, the second question that I was going to ask you, the basis of that rhyme, is about the materials that go into piccolo. Notice you're using a wooden instrument. Yeah, aren't they sometimes made of silver or platinum, the same as flutes?
Well, I've never seen a platinum. I've spoke to Powell. He's the one that made these, Powell of Boston, and asked him about platinum, and he said he would never work in platinum on a piccolo. It's too difficult. And silver, quite a few are silver. For instance, Haynes doesn't make anything but silver now. But my personal taste is not silver, it's wood. Because the silver, you have a metallic sound and a smaller sound. It doesn't carry as well. It isn't as sweet.
Well, I've asked you so many questions, had you talking so much about the instrument, I wonder if you have any breath left to show us the use of the piccolo in symphonic literature?
I've got some breath, but my lips are dry. This is a little bit from Wagner, from the Rite of the Valkyrie. This shows the use of the piccolo as a filigree ornament around a melody.
Now, the piccolo is frequently used as a solo instrument, isn't it, in the symphonic literature?
Yes, quite often.
And I was wondering if you could give us an illustration of that.
Well, from the Coppelia Suite by Delibes, in the Dance of the Toys, is a well-known piccolo solo.
Would it be in soloing the instrument to ask you if there's any relation between the piccolo and the fife? The instruments from a distance look rather similar and somewhat similar in size.
Yes, there's a great deal of likeness in sound too, and I would say it was the fife was a forerunner of the piccolo, and the piccolo is just a finer instrument. It has more capabilities, has better pitch, and you can do much more on a piccolo. It has a greater range.
Is that because of the mechanism,
Yes,
the
because it's a very finely made instrument, and acoustically it's the Bame system, which is the law of physics of sound, is quite well thought out.
I want to go back to this relationship with the fife, but another question just popped up in the mind. A few minutes ago, you mentioned the outstanding makers of piccolos. Is a piccolo an expensive instrument?
Well, it's about half the price of a flute. It ranges around $225,
$250. I noticed that you have two piccolos with you. Are they the same make or a different make? Do you shift over? Do you try one and then another? Or does one need a rest once in a while?
Well, I brought them both today in case one gets a little too much saliva in it. And one is a little different pitch than the other. It's just slightly higher. But they're both by Vern Powell.
But when you get an instrument, you just stick to that instrument?
Well, you keep trying to find one better, all violinists.
and the search is endless.
Yeah.
Now, going back to the relationship with the fife, we usually think of the fife in connection with fife and drum corps and military events. Is the piccolo is used frequently in a band, isn't it, military
yes,
band?
Yes, very much so. It takes the place of a flute in the band, because a flute is not heard at all in marches. And the piccolo is used. I have a selection here that would illustrate how it's used in more or less march tempo. This is from a well-known folk melody, Scottish, Keel Row. It was also used in Trooping the Colors over in London when the Queen reviewed the troops.
Thank you. should give you a couple of seconds to catch your breath. But another question I'm interested in asking is this. How come you became a piccolo player?
Well, there was no good reason. I was brought
up... That's the best one in the world.
The first time I started to play something, it was a saxophone. And then my dad wanted me to play in an orchestra, and he brought home a flute one day. And I started to learn flute. And ever since then, I preferred the flute, so I gave up the saxophone.
Well, every... I mentioned earlier in the program, I think it was a true statement that every piccolo player is a flute player. Every flute player is also a piccolo player, isn't it? Because
yes.
Don't you... all of you in the flute section have to double on the piccolo occasionally?
Well, it depends. The first flute hardly ever plays piccolo in an orchestra. It's usually the second and third.
Except perhaps in... John Philip Sousa's Stars and Stripes Forever.
Yeah.
When
everyone stands
very, very
up.
Thrilling to the audience when all the members of the flute section stand up and play the piccolos. Well, thanks ever so much, Mr. Atkinson, for this interesting demonstration of an interesting instrument. Now we're happy to send a pair of tickets for a concert by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra to Master Howard Allen Weiss, who says he's 14 years old and plays the violin. And he sends in this interesting anecdote. He said a lady in her train compartment was getting ready to go to sleep but couldn't because of what she called the scratching of some amateur violinist in the next compartment. So she called the porter and complained to him and told him to tell the person next door to stop practicing. In an hour or so, the violinist stopped playing. And the next day, as the train came into Chicago and the people were getting off, she saw some reporters around one person, and then, much to her embarrassment, she saw who the amateur violinist from next door was. It happened to be Mr. Yasser Heifetz. And thanks to Mr. Weiss for his anecdote.